All right, it's 7:02. I'm going to have a couple-minute technical difficulty, but now we're here. Welcome to the Yorkville Public Library Board of Trustees meeting, September 12th, 2022. Can I have a roll call, please?
Yes. Milshewski is absent. Crawford?
Yep, here.
Forrestal?
Here.
Garcia?
Here.
Millen is absent. Reifsteck?
Here.
Schumacher is absent at the moment. Schimpf?
Yes.
And Pissola?
Here.
Thank you.
Okay. And we have Russ, Daniel, and Sharon from Friends here. Welcome. And Shelley, our library director. Are there any amendments to the agenda? Okay. Any presentations? Okay. If everybody can take a look at the minutes, past minutes, and approve.
Meeting for Monday, August 8th, 2022.
Second.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reifsteck?
Yes.
Kim?
Yes.
And Pissola?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. Any correspondence? Okay. Any public comment? Can we have the Friends of the Library report, please?
So I was just going to tell you guys a little bit about the used book sale, which we just had. So our setup was on Tuesday and Wednesday, the 30th and 31st of August. We had 29 volunteers, and the girls, was it the volleyball team?
It was softball.
Softball, okay. They were amazing and wonderful, and thank God for them. They moved all of our heavy boxes to the correct spots very quickly and efficiently. During the sale, Saturday and Sunday, the 3rd and 4th of September, we had 21 volunteers. And now we have a week's worth of the end of summer sale out here in the hall. You might have seen 6 volunteers are running that. So our total so far in sales is $7,250. And Sue, our treasurer, will be adding our end of summer sale at the end of this week for a total yet to be determined. A person came up to me during the sale and asked, what do we do with all of the books that are left? So she's interested in those books. Her name is Shanita Clark. She's from the CHASS, C-H-A-S-S, I'm not sure if it's CHASS or CHASE Foundation. And between that and her church, and then also her husband has extended family in Nigeria. And they want to pick up all those books on Saturday and ship them to begin a library in this very small village in Nigeria.
Oh, wow.
So Shelley gave us the approval to do that this year. So I just took a picture this morning. I'm going to text her tomorrow and say, there's 132 boxes. Are you going to have people here to lug all these books to their vehicle to take them? She lives in Plano.
Okay.
They're keeping them there until her church is buying a container. And then they're also shipping over cars. And she said they can fill the cars with anything they want. So they're going to fill the cars with the books and the container to get them over to this small village in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it was a pretty successful sale. That first day we did $6,200 in sales. It was crazy that first day. So anyway, that's our big news. So thank you for your support of that.
What is your sale? What is it typically?
Right around there. I asked Sue, because I've only been a member for a year, and Sue Smithmeyer, the treasurer, said it's usually between $6,000 and $7,000.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And they reduced their prices by half
this
year.
Right.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
So I shared on Facebook, we had a line.
Yeah, I saw it.
The
that was
door
great.
All the way out the door. Going
down
out.
To the Game Farm Road and then down to the Farm Road, waiting to get
it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's a big deal.
It's huge.
It's huge.
So, yeah. And last year, we probably made the same amount, and we had 2 years' worth of books.
Right.
Yeah.
Because of COVID. Yeah. Oh. So, yeah.
So we're excited to get those funds to be able to funnel back into the library.
Yes. Oh. Thank you.
Thank you, Faith.
Thank you. All right. Can we have... Our treasurer's not here.
No.
Sure.
Okay. So my credit card bill has... The first half of it is a lot of supplies from the Harry Potter program that will be that have been reimbursed from the funds of the library. And then the last portion we have... office supplies and custodial supplies as well. Then as far as our checks go, we have Baker & Taylor is our provider, so that's always a big one. Another big one is for Lloyd Warber. He is our IT person, and he was behind 2 months, or he submitted 2 months worth of bills. Our NICOR gas bill is large, but we'll be discussing that in old business. And we had a couple of repairs to our HVAC for Trico Mechanical. And again, I'll be discussing that later. Umbrella Technologies is our FOB access control, so that's a quarterly cloud hosting charge.
Otherwise, that's it. I'll make a motion that we pay our bills for accounts payable of $17,123.10 and payroll at $43,558.40 for a total disbursement of $60,681.50.
Second.
Forrestal?
Yes.
Garcia?
Yes.
Reichstech?
Yes.
Schumacher? I'm sorry. Schimm?
Yes.
Bisola?
Yes.
And Crawford?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. We have a report of the library.
Okay, so Sharon filled you in on the used book sale. And our computer classes for seniors are starting again this month, and we're focusing on Microsoft Word. For the classes, he'll be teaching a basics class, formatting, editing, tables, materials, and then he's going to dabble into Facebook basics at the end of the month. So, God love
him. A success for
it has been. It has been. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. We are having our second annual, I guess it would be annual, Art and Poetry Day program here in the library this Saturday at 1 o'clock. Last year we had artists and poets, and we had poets create their poems, and an artist take that poem and create a piece of art based on that. This year she's flip-flopping it. So the artist is making their creation, and then a poet is going to create a poem based on that. And everyone will come together, they'll read the poems and display the art, and kind of like an art gallery. Yeah. Mike is also starting a health and wellness series that will be having speakers from the Northwestern Medicine Group come. And his first workshop will be the end of this month on September 28th. And it's focusing on teens and adults, actually. Well, let's see here. He's also added two more book clubs, adult book clubs, to our lineup. So the next one will be called Books and Cooks.
I saw that.
Yeah. And we will have a horror book club. We have a staff member that really loves horror and thrillers, so she's starting that book club. Let's see here. Let's go to... we also had two staff members do a pop-up visit at Cedarhurst and Heritage Woods. These are senior assisted living facilities. So we're trying to get out more to them, to people that can't come into the library. So we're signing people up for cards and letting them know what programs we have available, like our Zoom programs with authors and that. I attended the Grand Reserve block party. I didn't see you there.
No.
I spoke to about 70 people.
I saw that.
And passed out swag, and I had 4 or 5 people sign up for cards right there. Yeah. But I couldn't compete with the candy cane or cotton candy people.
No.
Yeah. I'm thinking we're going to buy a little bubble machine, so that might attract people.
Yeah, especially the kids.
Yeah.
Candy and bubbles.
Let's see here. I'll discuss the HVAC concerns in a little bit. So Steve and I did a walkthrough with a cleaning company to look at the size of the facility and what all we want done. And we're going to be signing up for a month-to-month basis with this particular company, pending approval tonight. Okay. But then eventually we will go out for bid under the umbrella of the city when they move to their city facilities, their new, and they will quote it out for all city buildings. Yep. Let's see, Friday we had... Griffin Systems come and install 6 cameras. So we were waiting for the cameras to come in. So we focused them on high traffic areas. Coming up the stairs to the second floor, focusing towards the men's bathrooms upstairs and downstairs, because we had some problems with teenagers again already. Can't remember if I shared pictures.
No, but
yeah, so some of the kids pulled open the paper towel holder in the men's bathroom, and it was stacked full, and they spread them all out, all over the floor, in the toilet. Yeah, so
that was
what they did. Luckily, nothing clogged, but we let the school know. They came over again. We looked at security cameras. They identified several that are not supposed to be off campus, so they'll be talking to them. And they've issued a statement to the students not to use the library during the day. Although I said I really didn't want to do that, because we're fine with the kids that come in here for the purpose of quiet studying, group studying. But that's just how they're handling it right now. So at this point, if we have going forward problems, we talked as far as managers that maybe we will just ban them from the library. I know, Darren, you had talked about pressing charges and that.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not fair. Yes, I think that, you know, like what had happened last year, you know, we can't stand for that.
Yeah. Right. So Mike is on top of it. Being a former teacher in that, he has a good rapport with the students in that. So we're all trying to be more aware and addressing it right away, the problems with kids and that. So we'll see. I have seen the principal over here 2 or 3 times walking around and looking for students and sending them back to school. So, again, I told them that, we welcome students into the library.
Yes.
It's the ones that are not there for the right intent, unfortunately. So
that created the issue for everyone else. Mm-hmm.
I know there's options. I know that's been discussed with how they can relax that rule and, and students could come back to the library.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll stay in touch. Mm-hmm. The dean staff have been excellent, I will say. One of them reached out and gave us all their phone numbers and said, call us mm-hmm. right away if you have a problem. So there's a good
relationship.
Yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. There's good communication going on. Mm-hmm. We just have to stay on top of it.
That's
good. I spoke with a rep from the Kendall County Youth Employment Program, and we are going to actually interview a high school student, and with the possibility of they have a program for paid interns. Mm-hmm. It's a 12-week program, and it's for young adults that meet a qualified barrier, whether it's low income or they need a GED, they're homeless, they have a disability, on probation, pregnant. So they work with those kids to try to find them employment and get job skills and experience. So I created a position page program. So they would come in, they wouldn't necessarily be in contact with our patrons, but they would be putting books away and organizing and reading shelves and that. So she thinks that she has a good candidate, so I asked if we would have the opportunity to interview them to make sure that they're a good fit for us as well, which is good. So we're working on setting up a date for an interview on that. The custodians have received their letters saying that their last day of work will be September 30th. And we'll discuss the proposal for the cleaning person, the cleaning crew, and the business. Let's see, I attended the chamber luncheon, and there I spoke with a reporter for Kendall County Record and about coverage of our programs. And he gave me his direct email address and phone number, so we have a better connection for that if we need more of us. Yeah. I spoke with the Yorkville Education Foundation president, and they are ready for their ceremony, their mm-hmm. ribbon-cutting ceremony for the story walk. That will be tentatively September 27th, mm-hmm. Tuesday at 4 o'clock. I have the invites in, let's see, in this one. Mm-hmm. Yep. So that's the ribbon cutting. So if you would all like to share that with anyone you know, they would appreciate that. They stopped by today to kind of give us a thank you copy of the book. The book's very cute.
Yeah, it wasn't.
Very cute. Yeah. So it's How Many Dogs Are in Your Neighborhood is the title of this. Nice. So they're bringing the Fox Belly Therapy dogs come as well. So we're working on what we can bring okay. dog-related to. So let's see here. Oh, and during that Chamber of Commerce, I spoke with Mr. Shim, and he brought up the fact that they are upgrading their security cameras for all schools, and asked if we would be interested in any of their cameras. So I said, of course. So he said that he would be in contact at a later date, and he also offered any of his staff to help us in any way we needed.
I read that. That was good. Yeah. That was nice.
Very nice. The Parks and Rec Preschool is actually going to be doing a couple programs this year here. They have a holiday program that they need a larger space for, and their graduation program in May. So, and we are going to be working with them and going over there for story time or programs as well. I don't remember if I told you this before. I started attending the administrator department head meetings over at the city. Mm-hmm. So those are held on each Monday at 10:30. So that's nice.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. I told you about the upstairs bathroom paper towels. And today, our part-time marketing coordinator started working physically in the library, so that was nice to have her physically here. We gave her a tour. She sat down with each of the adult and children's department heads to find out what their needs are and how we're going to go moving forward. She actually is probably going to be the lead person for mini golf. She'll be the project manager. We have a meeting tomorrow at 2 about that. And I believe that's my report.
It's all good. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Good stuff.
Yeah. All right. We did not have any committees meet. So, unfinished business. HVAC repairs and discussion.
So on page 39 of your packet, so Steve Rush, physical facilities manager for the city, has now taken the lead in doing this repair log. So this will be easier for you all to understand versus my bingo. But as of last meeting, we talked about getting another company in. So he's brought Trico in, and they have been here several times investigating and suggestions, and they suggested the following bullet points to do before we do what R.J. O'Neill was recommending with tearing apart the chiller. So they recommended doing these bullet points. And they have also, during their investigation, they're not just looking at the chiller, they're looking at all points leading to the chiller. So they're looking at valves and motors and VAV boxes, and in doing that, they found two chilled water actuator motors that had failed. So that was preventing water flow to the chiller. And so since then, they have, and that's one of the bills that you approved tonight, since then, they've done this repair, and it was quoted at $2,976, and they were here and finished early. So they went ahead and did some more investigating and found a heating valve actuator motor that had failed. So they went ahead and replaced that, but didn't charge us for the labor, just the cost.
That's nice.
And coming back in another instance, they found a waste pipe that was sagging, that was preventing the chilled water valve to open and close properly. And they feel that might have been the cause of the fail of the two parts that they just replaced. So they went ahead and repaired that sagging pipe. They also came back and reinstalled the TXB valve that failed in the IT room that R.J. O'Neill had put in incorrectly. So since then, I got a credit from R.J. O'Neill for that bill.
Good.
So then after that, they reached out to me and asked to set up preventive maintenance. So I said to them that at this point, we found another company to go with. So, and I have not heard back from them.
But we got the money back.
We got the money back. In fact, the email that I received from R.J. O'Neill was, he said, we will be voiding this invoice as we should have fixed this as a full warranty. I was under the impression the part failed, not that the incorrect part was installed. So they did a full credit.
Okay.
So, Let me see. So, RJ O'Neill, or excuse me, Trico, has been out here several times. The service manager has. And he has not billed us for any of his time. He's spent hours here trying to figure out things that are going wrong. So the only charges we are getting right now is for the technicians, the journeyman and an apprentice to come in and fix this work. But in doing that, we talked about the gas price, so that led Steve to ask for some details going back on our usage and costs for natural gas and electric. So on page 41 and 42 and 43 of your packet, this shows natural gas usage and a usage comparison year over year. And he's highlighted where things start to bump up in like 2018. To current day. So, and the ComEd usage log is just for tracking.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We don't pay ComEd bill, but we're just tracking the usage on that. So in investigating all of this, the natural gas, he said, drastically has increased since 2018. So Trico has been looking at our boilers and have found that we have a boiler setback controller that has failed. And this controller controls the temperature and firing rate for the boilers. And they also found that two boiler pumps were not operating correctly. One was wired incorrectly, they said, and the other had failed. So these items were either replaced or corrected, and they saw that the boilers were set for a 240-degree firing, I guess. Mm-hmm. I guess I don't know if that's the right word to say, where industry standards are 200 to 220. Mm. So this has been corrected, too.
Wow.
So they're saying that...
isn't that superheated steam?
It's too hot.
Yeah.
So they're saying that all of these issues were causing the boiler and the pumps to run 24 hours.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So they think that by doing that work, we should drastically see the natural gas usage go down. So that's hence the sheet going forward. We'll be tracking that.
Thank God for
that. Yeah.
They're just doing a
very thorough. That's why we left RJ on
the investigation. Yeah.
Yes.
Before you jump into
right. The big
yeah. Oh,
wow.
That's the HVAC report.
Thank you. Okay. Very thorough.
Temporary cleaning services.
Okay,
proposal.
So that is page 45. So this agreement is with Imperial Services, and we will be furnishing the cleaning supplies and equipment. They are furnishing the labor and the supervision. Mm-hmm. I have a tickle. The cost is $1,177 a month. Goodness. And this would be on a month-to-month basis.
And this is compared to what we pay our system? Okay.
It's less.
Okay.
Not considerably less. It is less.
Okay.
I'm hoping when we go to
what?
We go out for bid, mm-hmm. or the city goes out for bid, that it'll be a competitive bid.
Okay.
Steve's thought this was high as well,
yeah.
And we had negotiated it down, and then we negotiated using our supplies. Mm-hmm. So they say they're trying to be in by November, but I think it might be a couple, maybe a month or two later. So we might be with this company for 3 months, 4 months.
Okay.
And Darren, I know you asked about needing to amend the budget.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked Rob about that, and he said no budget amendment will be needed.
Okay.
He said budgetary control is maintained at the fund level, so as long as we don't go over our expenditure, we're okay.
Okay.
So you'll see maybe we'll have more money left in part-time salaries, but we might go over in professional services on the budget.
Yeah.
But as long as the total expenditures, we don't go over that, we're okay.
Okay.
And their last day is September
30th? Their last day will be September 30th. And these people will start on Monday, October 3rd.
Okay, October 3rd.
And this is a 6-day-a-week agreement. So they'll be coming in.
What time?
I was
going to
ask that.
They can come in. It looks like they might be in any time after 10 o'clock at night. Before 5
in
the morning.
They have access cards.
We'll be getting them their own fob.
They can track as they come in and out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If
they won't get a master key. The master key will stay here.
If they come in at 10 o'clock at night, the alarm system then has to be disabled.
They'll have to disable it.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
We can set them up with a special code
for them. And then their own fob so they can be tracked on their entry.
Yeah. Okay. And we have a new
cameras.
Security camera out back that tracks both doors now.
Okay.
Nice. Yeah.
Do you have any employees? Did they say they would have?
Brain? I don't know that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just to kind of know who. Who's coming in?
I'm under the impression that it's the same people.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one FOB for the organization that they will use, not per person. Is it just one fob? Or are you doing per person?
I think there'll be two fobs issued.
Okay.
Is what Steve said.
And then access to the their own access code for security.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still able to see as we're going it out, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're waiting for approval, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yep. So this has to be approved.
Well, I'll make a motion that we go with the Imperial Service Systems, Inc., contractor service for cleaning the library for $5,177 per month per the agreement. You said it's monthly, right?
Just it's monthly.
Month. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Per monthly?
Per month.
Second.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Garcia?
Yes.
Reifstack?
Yes.
Excuse me. Schumacher?
Yes.
Shim?
Yes.
Pizzola?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
And Forrestal?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right, so next, back to Trico.
On page 47 of your packet is a proposal from Trico for a semi-annual preventative maintenance contract. So it lists all of our equipment, our two boilers, a chiller, our two systems that are in here, and the server room as well. And it lists the fall service and page 48, the spring service. So based on their estimates, they feel it will take 12 hours for labor for spring and for fall at regular labor rates of $142 an hour. So that works out to $1,704 per season, for a total of $3,408 for the year. Now, RJ, we were paying for RJ O'Neill $4,390 for the same thing. The exception to this is we will be having Ted, our maintenance guy, replace filters and belts. So that won't be part of this. So this is a savings of $900 a year.
Good job.
We can also add to this at a later date to have them check all of our VAV boxes. So they're every zone, I don't know if I'm saying this right or not, Ryan, has a VAV box which controls, it's got flap, and it controls the cool or the hot air coming in or out based on the set temperature and the temperature in the room.
They're going to give a separate proposal for that?
Yes. So that would be, again, the same 12 hours at a cost of $3,408. Now, Steve recommends that we don't do this right yet because we're still working through all of our issues.
Yes.
And but he said eventually it would be a good idea to do this in the future. So Ted is going to go through all of our VAVs and inspect them and label them. And so in the future we might add this.
Okay.
Yes, yeah, so that's really what Steve has told me about this. So if you want to go forward with that, we would need an approval on this.
Approval on this. Preventive maintenance.
Yeah.
Approval for the preventative maintenance, yes. Which it looks like, I'm not sure when it will start. I would assume it'll be doing a fall.
I was going to say, we're starting to fall now.
Mm-hmm. They'll probably be doing that since we haven't done it with RG O'Neill.
Okay. I'll make a motion that we adopt the HVAC semi-annual preventive maintenance contract for, that includes a spring, estimated spring and fall labor and service, and for a total of $3,408 per year.
Second.
Reifstick?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Pessola?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Forrestal?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay, and the last thing is to update our financial policy so that if there is any type of emergency, that I have approval to spend. So you'll see on page 50, anything in yellow I have added, and then I've subtracted what I want to delete from it. So right now my authorized spend is $2,500. So in the case of one of these repairs, I couldn't make that decision. I had to call Darren for approval. So I'd like to bump that to $10,000 on any single thing without prior board approval, provided that it's accounted for in the budget, meaning if we have we haven't spent it, that I can go ahead and make that decision and do that. The number two one is the authority to spend $5,000 on any single item not in the budget. Number three is Illinois state law that has to be, if we have something over $25,000, it has to go out for bid. So I just changed the wording on that one and cited statute. And then number five, I added that in case of extreme emergency that I could get president's approval or at least two board members' approval to authorize necessary spends.
Treasurer? Be one of them, the treasurer?
I just put two board members, whoever I can
get.
If you'd like me to change that, I can.
Yeah, because the treasurer would know more with the funds. That should at least be one of them. I think.
Two board members, one to include treasurer.
Mm-hmm.
And then on page 51, I just did a little spreadsheet of some of the authorities to spend libraries.
And when we say the single item, does that mean any, are we talking about something that's broken or equipment or what are we talking about?
Could be anything. So in essence, what it is it's... increasing my 2,500 to 5,000.
Right.
Okay. I still would ask. I believe.
I know you are. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I saw you. Thank you for doing the spreadsheet too, because that shows that you are you're doing your due diligence and looking at other libraries.
So we have to adopt this and vote on it.
What happened? Oh, I was looking at all the items. Motion to adopt the financial policy. To the financial policy for changes of handling the authority to spend. With the changes of one being the 10,000 from 2,500 to 10,000, number two being able to spend up to 5,000, and having the approval of library in extreme emergency of the president or any other two board members, including the treasurer. And any expense in excess of $25,000 to be approved by the library board trustees. Only after completing the formal bid process with those changes.
Second.
All right. Reifstech?
Yes.
Schumacher?
Yes.
Schimp?
Yes.
Pessola?
Yes.
Crawford?
Yes.
Stahl?
Yes.
And Garcia?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay. So there's no need to go to executive session. And we're adjourned.
Oh, wow.